Bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting.
Leave it to a TSA.
Don't say TSA, I've started to record. Man, they're going to find us out now. We'll have to rely on Kelly from Black Ops to get rid of it. This is the Mac.
So you're recording?
We're recording.
TSA, they totally want to touch me.
Is that a new, that's a new Britney Spears song, no?
It is, yeah.
It might be.
It might be. The Mac Show is here. We are here to discuss the week's Macintosh news. It's not been a huge week for Mac news, as again, even the rumours are pretty low, but there we go. Joining me to discuss the fantastic week of Mac, someone who hasn't been on the Mac Show for a long, long time, and is first time on line three, and is top of the shop starting to suff. Mr. Carl Madden, how you doing, buddy?
I'm fine, thank you very much, sir. How are you?
I'm excellent. Mac Show, it's not been your Friday afternoon for a while, has it? You've been very busy, so...
No, they keep me working. Just because they pay me, they expect me to work. I think it's disgusting.
Bastards. But you're here. You're doing the Mac Show. Your forte. If anyone owns everything that's Mac, it's you.
I have a few items around me, yes. It must be said.
The odd one.
Well, I don't quite know how that happened, but it did.
Glad to have you along. Next to him, Mr. Jeff Gamet. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing good, and thanks for having me on. You guys are an absolute blast to hang out with.
Well, we're all drinking. I know it's a bit early for you, but Carl's definitely drinking. I know that for a fact. And he hasn't even said he is. And have you got an aperitif there as well or not? Is that orange juice?
It's clear.
It's gin. Good lad.
So it could be water. It could be vodka. It could be gin. If I'm really desperate, I suppose it could be isopropyl alcohol. But man, I'd have to be desperate for that.
No, meths is the only one that gives you away because it's purple. Nothing's purple. You're fine with that. Don't worry.
All right.
Next to Jeff, Kelly, in the bar and not drinking.
Not yet. It's not even 9 a.m. here. So, yeah, I've got a little bit of time.
Okay. Now, we've seen a picture of you and the rest of the Black Ops team.
Yes.
At your special event. We've actually had a review this week. Which I'm quite interested to find out if there's any connections here. iCyber Paul, who Dr. Happy Mac and I know very well, has reviewed the only way to keep up with all the Mac-related news when I'm in Guatemala with a classic extension. So, Paul's in Guatemala, you're in Guatemala, something's gone down. I'll tell you what, I could be, what's the name and what's it from the Watergate thing, couldn't I? I've put two and two together there and got six.
It's like Zero Dark Mac.
Did you have fun in Guatemala?
Sure.
Oh. Did the tangos go down?
Well, I don't know how much I'm allowed to say about Guatemala. The official story is that I was in the Dominican Republic.
Oh, okay. You've been tangoed.
So, and last, there you
but not mean any least thing, Dr. Happy Mac, how you doing, buddy? I thought what I was going to say, and then I didn't say it, but never mind.
I'm not in Guatemala.
Happy customers all round in Swindon, Cheshire, Wiltshire, Cheltenham, Gloucester.
Swindon. Sirencester.
Sorry, no, I know you're in, but you have fairly afield, don't you? I mean,
yeah, not Swindon. I have some standards.
Oh, okay, steady on.
Hello,
good
Swindon,
last week.
We love you.
Because you pulled out at the last minute with desperate customer issues.
Kelly.
Moving on. Jeffrey, don't do that. Don't go there. Last week, did you have a satisfied customer after you pulled out early?
Yes, I did. It proved to be a fantastic experience all round. I do like to give my
I'm sorry. Someone can't breathe.
That's not me.
This week's Mac Show.
If anyone's going to get the giggles, it's usually Kelly, but not this not this time. No, no.
The week in back.
I love this show.
Oh. We've had some reviews.
Oh, do tell.
Read them, Ewan, read them.
I'll try.
Face.
I'll try. From Max Steve in the US chat room. No, not the chat room, in the US store. Shit.
Oh, God. We've broken him altogether.
Oh.
Kelly, we broke the show.
No.
That's why we can't have nice things.
I can
that may be a record for you and I, Jeff, to have broken a show this early on.
I can wreck this show. No, I can edit this show. Jesus, who put the word wreck in my head? From Mac and Steve, he said, I really enjoy the way this podcast has guests from all over the globe. I'm an American, and the British expressions are great, although I have to listen very closely to keep up sometimes. A good mix of humour and Mac information, nobody is afraid to disagree with another. Most of the time. Keep up the good work, chaps. Steve and Axel. Tech Travellers in the US store has written down, the Mac Show and the Big Show are by far the best tech shows on the web. Why? They do a great job of discussing the week's news without taking themselves at the centre of the show. I absolutely love the intelligent conversation mixed with the dry, self-deprecating British sense of humour. This is a welcome break from most of the tech shows with a condescending host spewing snarky comments in a lame attempt to appear hip. Well done, British Tech. 35's put in the British store. A brilliant mix of serious chat and banter. Great selection of panellists. Also, if you like Apple News and having a laugh, then this is the show for you. Carl Proctor has put down, I've been listening to the Mac Show for the last year, but it feels like I've been doing it for 20. This is one of the best podcasts out there. Funny, witty and informative. A good selection of presenters. They've even got a village idiot in the shape of Will Green. His diversions down Tangent Boulevard are one of the highlights of the show. Keep up the excellent work, Carl. Jack Pott has put down a great informative podcast with diverse panel, entertaining banter. Will Green often sounds like a grumpy old man, but he's great.
Aww.
Well done, Will Green. Thank you very much. Allegedly, on the 26th, so that's only 4 days to go, Will Green will be publishing a British Mac podcast. Mm-hmm. If you haven't got it queued up, and don't forget as well that you need to go to, who's the bloke that does the scripts? The awesome scripts? Dan's scripts, Derek's scripts, Dave's scripts.
Oh, Dave's is iTunes.
No, there's someone that does like a what's it scripts. I can't remember his name. It begins with a D. But he does an update expired podcast, which if you listen to British Mac and you subscribe to it, you're going to need to use that because you will have automatically unsubscribed. Doug's script, thank you. It will have automatically unsubscribed you. So do get Doug's scripts and update expired podcasts because Will Green's will be out there after the weekend. Allegedly. Allegedly. The Week in Apple. Shall we start with Kevin Lynch?
Let's.
He looks like Alan Bennett, but allegedly he is Apple's greatest critic and a great proponent of Flash, yet the chief technology officer of Adobe has been hired by Apple.
I would like to point out that this is not the first time Apple has hired somebody from what we could charitably refer to as the competition.
Is it just because it saves on the costs of getting them in the basement and shoving electrodes on the testicles?
Possibly, but I think there may be more to it. I mean, some of these guys didn't get where they are by... This is similar to the conversation we were having on the Big Show about Marissa Meyer. at least on paper, Apple does a pretty good job of hiring somebody who's pretty together or has been reasonably competent in previous positions, and that's what gets them in the door. So I feel like there's a whole lot of haterade out there about this, even though there doesn't really need to be.
I've never heard haterade before. Really? Oh my God, that's awesome.
That was good.
Then let me use it in a sentence for you. It sounds as though Gruber has drank all the Haterade.
Oh my God.
I want to be John Gruber. John Gruber writes 50 words a week.
Yeah.
And makes a fortune. Jesus.
Yeah. I feel like we need to see what he's going to do. Now, I don't feel like there's enough. I don't feel like there's enough out there for us to instantly start crucifying this guy. I think we should give him a chance to screw it up before we start nailing him to the cross, you know?
No one's suggesting this guy's going to screw it up, though.
No.
He's a competent guy.
Yeah, the internet is suggesting this. Everybody's going, why did they hire this idiot? Oh, there's much wailing and gnashing of teeth, and it's because he was the guy who beat the flash drum.
And it was his job to beat the flash drum.
That was, yeah. They hired him to beat the flash drum. And I don't remember what the relationship is, but if I'm not mistaken, at one point, didn't he work with Phil Schiller?
Yes. Okay, here's how the relationship works.
There we go. Thank you, Jeff.
Flash, Macromedia product.
Yes.
He worked at Macromedia, and so did Phil Schiller. This was like 20 years ago, though.
Yeah.
So when Adobe bought Macromedia, then Kevin comes over with all the assets. And so he's been at Adobe ever since. And the problem that he has right now is that everyone is associating him with Flash as if he's the person that actually coded everything. His job involved more than Flash. He was the guy that had to make sure that all the platforms that Adobe supports were handled correctly, that all of these incredibly complex applications were doing the things they're supposed to do. And yes, some of those products have turned out really well. Some of them were kind of big buckets of crap. Flash didn't used to be a big bucket of crap. It evolved into that.
That's very true.
And to be fair, it did evolve into that under Kevin's watch, but what I think Apple is looking at is his skill set with taking hardware and software and managing the two together. And if you look at Apple's structure right now, their executive structure, you have hardware and software under Bob Mansfeld. So why not have someone that's answering directly to Bob that totally gets how that stuff should happen? And that's my guess as to why Kevin is coming over to Apple from Apple's perspective. I think from his perspective, he knew he'd hit a ceiling at Adobe, and there was nowhere else for him to go. So if he wants something new, something interesting, and a chance to move farther up the food chain, he has to go somewhere else, and that's Apple.
Why on earth did Flash hit the bloated limit, as it were, in terms of CPU and I mean, DHM jump in any time, because you'd have come across some issues with this product with some computers that you've had to help with, but my thought process is that Java's going the same way as Flash because of the fact it's constantly the attack threat. It's constantly the open door into other OSs. And closing those doors became the issue that made Flash into the bloatware that it currently is.
Actually, I think the bloat part and the bad performance part comes from a gamble Adobe made that didn't pay off. And they knew what they wanted the platform to do, and the hardware available wasn't there, or the hardware wasn't available to support what they wanted to do. They went ahead and did it thinking that the hardware would catch up quickly.
Right.
And it never has. Flash has stayed ahead of the hardware. So trying to optimize it now is a monumental task because they're trying to optimize something that they anticipated better hardware for just all the time. And I don't think Adobe ever planned on security as being an issue with any other products. It just never occurred to them. And so they were caught with their pants down, so to speak. And man, what a lot of problems, both with Flash and with PDF.
Mm. And yeah. I mean, so what's Kevin going to do exactly, apart from be Tim's bitch?
I don't know. That might be a job in itself.
No, he's Bob's bitch.
Oh, he's going to be Bob's bitch.
Bob Mansfield.
Mm-hmm. But I mean,
and I think that that says what he's going to be doing right there. He's coordinating a hardware and software development so that everything works together the way it's supposed to. I think that's what his job's going to be.
Is there a status issue here? Because he's gone from CTO to working for Bob. I mean, or is that not a downward step in terms of hierarchy? Would you not expect him to come higher within the management structure within Apple?
Well, technically, it's a step down.
Box marked Apple shares probably helps with anything like that.
There you go. And if it gives him the opportunity to move up, even though he might be technically stepping down to a lower position, it probably doesn't equate to being a lower position considering what he'll be involved with at Apple. And he has the potential to move up the food chain.
See, I think for us Brits, I think because when Apple hired, is it John Browett?
Yeah.
This guy. See, that left a nasty taste in our mouths as Brits, because we knew he was going to be a disaster.
To be fair, we don't know that about Kevin, but as soon as Apple figured it out about Browett, he was out.
He could just listen to us a lot on the day he hired him.
Okay, that's true.
It was. Twitter was alive with
trust me, I know.
What the hell are you doing?
I follow a bunch of people over in your neck of the woods, and oh, yeah. Like, when I refresh Twitter, and it only, my entire timeline goes back, like, 3 minutes, and it's, like, 400 tweets, and it only goes back 3 minutes. It's all of you guys going, "Dear Apple, what are you on hiring Browett, and will you share?" Like, that was it, because clearly it was the good stuff.
Mm.
I think I agree with Jeff on this, which is CTO at Adobe may not be as big a role as whatever it is that is his official title at Apple, a VP of technology or something, reporting to Big Bob. Yeah.
Yes.
So, I mean, reporting to Big Bob sounds to me like probably there's a whole lot to be done there. And considering the rest of the shakeup that's been happening in the technology stuff in October, when they did the shuffle, when Big Bob unretired, and Forstall left, sort of. I think he's officially leaving next month. They can't get him out the door because he was using Apple Maps to leave.
Haha. Oh, God.
And then, so he was out, and Browett was out on the same day, although Browett's exit visa was, like, immediate. And then Big Bob Appleseed retirement. And so, like, they've done a bunch of shuffling here, and you know, Johnny's in charge of a bunch more stuff now. And so I'm really curious to see in the next year, probably 6 to 12 months, where this group is going to end up. Because we've seen a little bit of what they're up to with the new podcast app. And so far, people aren't hating
us.
Yeah, it came out yesterday. Have you seen that yet, Ewan, the new podcast app?
No, I have not.
Well, most of the gone.
Yes.
Including your bandwidth.
And the big wheel, the tape wheels have gone. Sorry? Oh, has it?
You start again. Most of the big wheels, most of the skeuomorphic has...
Oot.
Start again.
has gone. But all the skeuomorphic, most of the skeuomorphic stuff has gone. So the big tape wheels have gone. It's a lot cleaner.
Mm.
It can now, you sync over iCloud, which I haven't tried yet. It's a much cleaner design, and you can, on the fly playlist as well, so it puts you back in control of what order you want to listen to things. And it's much cleaner than it was before.
Is that me, or is it just you've got some bandwidth issues there, mate? Because you're a bit choppy there.
It's me.
I got a bit of
you're downloading well. At the same time. You got some chop too. I need some chop. Thank you for some chop.
The other thing that's cool about the new one is that you can also do something that they're calling like channels for podcasts. And so it's sort of like the Pandora for your podcasts.
We need to get on that.
It's Jeff, kind of. Okay. So the way it works is you have to have already subscribed to the podcasts. And then you can go and set up your custom channel. So like if you listen to a bunch of podcasts that are about whiskey, then you can make a channel that's your whiskey podcasts. And if you have another one that's all about Mac-related shows, okay, great. Then you make your Mac channel. And if you have one that's about all the health and outdoor activities you do, then you can make your health and sports channel. And then that way, you can have channels that group together podcasts in the way that makes sense for you. And so when one episode ends and then the next podcast episode is in line to play, it just starts and you just have content customized to play back the way you want.
Right.
That's very good. I mean, the podcast app, I've got to say, everyone bitched about podcast app. And the first time I took it down, it was on my phone for 3 minutes and then it was uninstalled. But then I put it back in because it insisted on coming back in. And I've found it okay since. I haven't really had a problem with it.
A lot of people
really like it now.
Though. Yeah.
Good. Good, good, good.
Much better.
We like that.
Do you think it was the Johnny Ive show his influence in it?
Design-wise. Oh, yeah, you think?
A bit.
Yeah, I'm betting one of the first things he did was when he took over the software side of Apple. He probably walked in and said something like, "All right, mates, all this skeuomorphic crap, it's gone."
Yeah, because the tape reels are gone, and I'll bet you money that in an incremental iOS 6 update, I bet they're not going to hold it off until 7. I'll bet you that like 6.2 or 6.3, all of a sudden, there will be no more stitching in the contacts app, in the calendar too.
Thank God.
And the notes app will stop looking like a notepad.
No, I quite like that. I actually do quite like that because it stands
out
pretty well.
The layout is okay. The layout for the notes app is fine because you have the column down the left with all of your notes, mm-hmm. and then you have your pad that you're writing on, but you're wasting all that space at the top on a screen that's not big anyhow just to have what looks like a little binding strip.
No, I agree with that.
So that can go away.
I will bet money that one of the next updates, I don't know how much they're going to say about it, but all of a sudden contacts will just look more like an app and not like a book, and that calendar will do the same thing. I'm betting, I don't know, again, I don't know how loud they're going to be about the change, but it's going to change. It's going to be like podcasts. Here's an update to the app, and basically the biggest difference right now is that for most people, what they're going to notice about it is that the tape reels are gone. That's going to be the biggest thing they see.
Batwench in the chat room likes the tape reels. She wants the tape reels back. Good luck.
There's always one.
Yeah, there's
one. Personally, I think one of the best things they could do is not to necessarily lose the skeuomorphism or change things per se, but just allow things like Fantastical or Sparrow or other apps to take over as the default.
Yes.
On your device.
That is something people are begging for since iOS 3.
It's fair enough. You make this app and it's not up to snuff. You know, Downcast is an alternative for podcasting. Fantastical is an alternative for calendaring. Codebooks an alternative for just allow these apps that are doing a better job than Apple is with crucial system.
My exact point was that I couldn't give a toss about the stitching on the top of the contacts pad. I just want contacts to interface properly with Mail app. I want it to interface properly with calendar. If you try and if you have a non-Apple address that you want to try and coordinate a meeting with and send out to people who are using Outlook, I can't even say it's painful because it's non-existent. It doesn't even get to the point of being difficult. It just doesn't happen, and that's the serious issue. The serious issue is that those applications have to exist as functional applications first and foremost. And I've been going on for 2 years now about the fact that Contacts, Mail app, and iCal are just pointless. They got to start working together.
And I wish, and there are good ways to handle this. I mean, on macOS, full on macOS, you can choose a default browser. It's not Safari or Die. You can say, Chrome is my browser. Or well,
to be fair, it's not Safari or Dai on iOS either, though.
Right. Well, it sort of is, because if you're in Mail and you tap a link, then it can be complicated. Right. And if I'm on my computer and I tap a link, it doesn't open in Safari, it opens in Chrome. Mm-hmm. So I want to be able to have that option. I would also like the option. I know there has to be a way that this could be handled. I'm not a developer. I'm not trying to ask the impossible here. But if I have, say, Fantastical installed on my phone, then I should be able to delete the calendar app. If I have Weatherbug installed on my phone, or Fahrenheit, or both, because I have both, I should be able to delete the weather app. If I have a better way to track stocks, I should be able to delete the stocks app.
Or that's right, yes.
They should give me some sort of secret, let go of my ears, I know what I'm doing, switch that I can pull, that's some sort of advanced mode that will allow me to do these kinds of things. And then, you know, it's sort of like when you go bowling and they put the bumpers in the lane for people who are incapable, like me.
Wait, that's an option?
Yeah. You just have to ask them. And when they put the bumpers in the lane, like, I understand needing that feature for iOS so that somebody doesn't delete the Mail app. And then, you know, you end up with tech support calls like people used to get in the 90s, you know, ring, ring, hello, I've deleted the internet. You know, you don't want to do that. But at the same time, it would be really nice to have some flexibility for people like us who, in fact, can find our butts with both hands in a map and would really like to have some other options as opposed to that folder on the last page. That's one of the things I always ask people, what's in that folder on your last page that's notes and usually reminders because people are using something else, and stocks and calendar and, you know, and music weather, because everybody's got something else, or weather because people's got something else. Those are the things I want to know about. So yeah, please change that, Apple. Please, please.
Isn't there an option already? It's called using Android though.
Ooh.
No, I don't think so.
There would be. Okay, there would be. I'm going to tell you this right now. There would be if one of those slabs of technology fit in this hand. If I could fit one of those in my hand and navigate it with my thumb effectively, then it might be an attractive option. But as it is, like the smallest one I have held in the last 6 months, the smallest Android device, takes both my hands.
You mean you're
tiny. And I can still use an iPhone 5 in one hand. I can hit most of what's in it with one of my teeny little girl hands. And I can't do that with an Android device. If I could, it would be a much more attractive option for me. But I use my phone in one hand a lot. And I need that kind of flexibility. And an Android device, I don't have it.
There's a lot of Android devices that are smaller, though, Kelly, to be fair. I mean, if you look at a lot of the stuff that's on offer with Android, particularly in the Motorola range, there's a lot of stuff that's very doable with girly hands.
I have
How many of those have the most recent version of Android?
Oh, well, that's a different question.
Recently, yeah. That's what I'm talking about, is within the last 6 months, everything that I have held onto in one hand, I can't operate. And it doesn't have anything to do with where the keyboard is or anything like that. It has to do with the physical width of the device means I can't get my thumb to anything useful. So it's kind of lame. And that's the big part of it is, yeah, I could get something that does fit in my hand, but it's going to run a version or two back from the current version of Android, and that just seems silly.
So you're saying Android has completely avoided the fact that the main feature of the human being is the opposable thumb?
Pretty much, yes. Yeah. Yes. And and you can tell they're avoiding it because, as we talked about on the big show, the new Samsung thingy comes with a penny touchy styly thing?
It does, yeah. The note comes with
touchy, sticky thing.
That's exactly it, yeah. I think that's what it's called, yeah.
Yeah, and that's ridiculous. It's not that I mind using one. I had a Palm, I had the 5X, I had a Tungsten T3. I never minded using a stylus on those devices. But now that there is an option to do some sort of input in a way that doesn't suck without a stylus, I don't understand why anybody would willingly include one.
There's some stuff. I mean, Paul Kirkel, who's a very good. By the way, I meant to say. Well, I think of Paul Kirkel. Paul Kirkel is a lecturer at, I think it's University of Guildford. I'm probably going to get corrected on that. It's not, but his university has got a stand at the Gadget Show. The Gadget Show starts a week on Sunday, and if you want to go down there and see see Paul, he's the bloke who looks like his hair has run into his beard.
Wow.
Yeah, he's ginger from the top all the way down, and it's all the way down stops at the chin. Don't read anything into that. Go and see Paul. Okay. At the Gadget Show. His university are there, but he's an artist and a very good one. And if you look at the picture, actually, that's on the event tickets for the Bash, tickets for the Bash are on sale, I'll come back to that, then that was done by Paul, and it was done on an iPad. He's an iPad artist. And I think he walks around with brushes, capacitive touch brushes and styluses, akimbo. I mean, he's got 12 different ones that do different things that he can get different effects out of,
sure,
on which application that he does. And I think there is a place for a stylus. And I have to admit, having talked to Paul and seen what Paul can do and had a go, he's very complimentary about my artwork, although I don't think I'm particularly the greatest artist. I've bought a couple of styluses to try, and I've got a lot of benefit from using a stylus with the iPad over using my finger, particularly in things like the 51 app. You know,
you're using it to draw, you're using it to paint a picture, you're using it to something, right?
It's an artistic tool.
No.
Like instead of using a Wacom tablet, you're using your iPad and like a stylus.
No, I mean I've used Wacom tablets, and I'm famous on the photo show for saying Wacom have got a new tablet out, and I just end up going back to a mouse and Adobe. I don't go to tablets. Okay. I buy tablets on a regular basis. So, sort of once every 6 to 9 months, I'll buy myself a brand new tablet, persist with it, and go, nah, it's not for me, and I throw it away. Okay. But I've started using so I used the 51 application, the paper app, and because that was kind of speed sensitive, if not pressure sensitive, I started using a stylus with that, and it made a lot of difference. And then I stopped and started using, because someone, I think I got an email or something like that, and I started using the stylus for dabbing, and the stylus was better for dabbing than my finger was.
Sure. Now that's a different kind of use case. This, they're not giving you a stylus on the Samsung Majigger so you can draw a picture. They're giving it to you to touch the keyboard, to tap to launch an app.
Hang on a second. Let's just be clear, because I'm not sure that that's right. I think the Note still has a capacitive touch screen. It doesn't require a stylus.
It does, but they're giving you one, right? Isn't that the thing we were talking about yesterday? With the stylus?
It comes with a stylus, but the stylus is option. It's not requirement. Right. It's not like, I mean, the original Microsoft tablet, etc. idea that Bill Gates came out with and all that kind of stuff. The stylus was the essential. And the note is a capacitive touch screen, and there's a stylus stuck in the back if you want to do something artistic with it. That's
right. But they're giving you a stylus for a reason. And most people are going to presume that because they're giving me one, I need to use it. And so they're going to take their little stick of plastic and poke at their screen because that's what they think they have to do. And I don't feel like, I feel like I get pretty far on my iPad with just my fingers, and I get pretty far on my phone with just my fingers. Sometimes I want to do something else. I want to sketch something. I want to draw something or mark up a picture and go, this is the thing that I'm talking about, and put arrows and point and label and whatever. And for that, I want a stylus because that's how I'm used to writing or drawing or sketching out. So on the one hand, I agree with you, but on the other hand, I don't, because I don't think it's necessarily a requirement. In any case, this isn't going to be very interesting for everybody else anyway. So
there is a good point here. And Bit8Girl in the chat room has just stuck a link in there. If you'll click on that and have a look at it. And she says a stylus can make the iPad completely accessible. And it's a link to a website, etsy.com.
Etsy, I love Etsy.
Etsy.
And they sell sell a pile of capacitive touch things that are designed for accessibility for people who've got disability.
Which is cool.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But that was my point, is that the stylus is an option. It's not a requirement, whereas originally the idea of a stylus was a requirement.
Right.
And that's the difference.
Yay, these are very cool.
Okay, for
they're all very cool.
A stylus is a tool for my artistic work on my iPad. And what I found is that I'd rather use my fingers when I'm navigating and doing other things, but when it comes time to draw or paint, I want a stylus. And as such, I mean, I can look around my desk so here's two that I just saw. There's a couple more out of reach that... I have styluses everywhere. I'm always trying out new models. Mm. And and they're fantastic for artistic things for me.
Well, if you go to BritishTechNetwork.com on there, there is a picture on there of the Queen and Andy and Atco, and all of that was drawn using the Brushes app and styluses on an iPad. Paul is very talented, more than very talented, extremely good at it. And he's a good beer drinker as well.
Fantastic. We should get together.
Oh, well, come to the Bash.
Yes,
Bash,
indeed.
The Bash.
July 6th.
6th of July. It's going to happen. It's definitely coming. Let me put the picture up before I forget. I've got.
Yep, I just bought my tickets about half an hour ago.
You did, good man. There we go. There's a British
the curry
Bash
one, whatever
ticket.
Yeah, the whole thing. So,
The curry is on the Friday night, and that's a £10 ticket. It doesn't get you a curry. It gets you £10 off the curry that you buy. So if you drink yourself silly on beer, you're still going to have a bill at the end of the night. It'll just be £10 lighter than it was before you started drinking. So do bear that in mind.
Do you have to buy both tickets, Ewan?
You don't have to buy both tickets, no.
No, I mean, if you buy the Bash ticket, you have to buy that and the curry ticket.
Yeah, no, we've got a bit of a problem as well. I'm not sure how it's worked out and why, but if you want to send, if you want to buy two tickets for the Bash, you have to buy two tickets separately. You can't change the quantity to two. We need to figure out what's gone on there. There's something gone wrong. But having said that, Batwench in the chat room says that her husband used the iPhone to buy the tickets, and she said he was very impressed. It went particularly smoothly. So well done, Sarah, because
nice.
Sarah Jane UK in the chat room says that it's she set it all up. And he said it worked very, very well. So he wasn't bothered, but you have to click twice to buy two tickets. And if you want to buy the curry, then you have to buy that separately. And the curry will get you £10 off your curry, nothing more. Don't expect a free curry for £10, because it's not happening. Right.
I better go back and buy the curry as well then.
Yes, we need to find a way of clarifying that if that's not particularly clear. It does say curry only on it. Unless that's
the only, should say.
Yeah, well, no, because the thing is, because it says curry only, it's like if you're only coming for the curry but you're not coming for the Bash, which makes me wonder.
Then, yeah, why not?
Yeah, see, it's...
Yeah.
Right, here's what's happening. If you want to come to the Bash, you need to buy a ticket. It's £20 per person. That'll buy all your beer and all your food, and it's the hire of the hall and etc. If you want to come to have a curry as well as the night before, then you need to pay us an extra £10 just so that Milam, the guy that owns the restaurant, isn't sitting twiddling his thumbs waiting for you to turn up and you're not going to show. So it's that. And you'll get the £10 off your curry when you get here, but you've got to buy a curry ticket as well as. So... It wasn't supposed to be this hard.
Never mind.
Yeah, no. Jeff, just book a plane ticket and come over and we'll sort you can curry out in a beer and a bed and it'll be fine. It'll be all right. The EU are not very happy with Apple because it would seem that they are looking very closely at the contracts that they have with their cell providers over here in the UK and most of Europe about how they actually provide subsidy to them, and also how that subsidy is then realised in the sense of Apple saying, if you don't push our phone, then we're going to take your subsidy away, which is illegal, of course.
Oh.
That's not the only EU story, though, is it? There's another one as well.
Oh, tell us more, Carl.
It's the one where they're saying in the EU, you're allowed 2 years warranty as a customer. But Apple are saying, no, you're only allowed one. But it's our right as Europeans to have 2 years.
A warranty cover. Now, this came up a little while ago, didn't it, as well? Because wasn't that one of the issues that they had with some of the... Because that's consumer electronics in general, not just... Because Forsman mentioned this a few weeks back.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they've apparently been done in Australia, and they've been told to change it, but be quiet about it, which is a bit dodgy, I must say. But no, apparently it's our rights as European citizens. We can have 2 years too. So if your Mac goes wrong after a year, you just still take it in and it's still your right to have it fixed.
There's a good question about how long you should expect your consumer tech to work. Because, I mean,
it's in Europe, it's not in the UK. It's not actually strictly 1 year or 2 years. It's a bit cloudy, isn't it? Because it's
the expectation of life.
There's an expectation of life So you can go in and you can say to Apple, I expect a £1,700 laptop to last more than 2 years.
Mm.
And they say, and they have to prove in court that you should, that the life expectancy of a MacBook Pro is 2 years.
Well, consumer protection law does have an expectation of use anyway, regardless of warranties that are offered by the manufacturer. Mm. So, I mean, if you said that you went to, even as a repair for provider, if your customer said, well, Dr. Happy Mac came to fix it and I thought it would work for longer than bloody 3 months, then you would still have a pseudo requirement to fix it as a warranty, whether you provided that warranty or not.
Which pseudo are you using there, Ewan?
The pseudo that...
it's like, I'm not fixing that. Pseudo, fix that Mac. Okay.
Oh, no, I'm fixing that.
But the issue is they're not refusing to fix them. They're saying they're not publicising the fact that you get 2 years.
I'm sorry.
What is going on?
Oh, the Batwitch in the chat room said, as the curry house that we're going to got a link. So I've gone to their website and they've got some shite music that plays in the background. Sorry.
Oh, it's you. Okay.
It's me. Yeah, I do apologize.
I was frantically looking through tabs in all my browsers trying to figure out what just loaded a video.
Yeah, I'm having
and it's you.
Like, what's going on? What did I open something?
If you want to know where the curry is, it's at kismetindianrestaurant.co.uk. There you go. And we can go and open that all at the same time and have it in quadraphonic sound. KismetIndianRestaurant.co.uk. It is the Carl. I'm going to say it's the best curry house in the world, but you have eaten there. What would you say?
It's definitely up there. I'll give it that.
There you go. So there's a man who eats curry on a regular basis, and he says it's up there.
It is good.
Paul Wheatley said it was the best curry house in the world.
Hey,
yeah, he's from Scotland. We'll see now.
Exactly.
Sorry, Paul. Oh.
There we go. So the European story. Now, I mean, do you guys get, in the States, do you get coercive practices from cell phone providers saying, you know, Verizon, you take our Droid or you take our whatever it is and you will push it and you will sell it over other items?
We've had that I've seen a couple of instances where people have said, like Verizon employees come out and say, we're given a kickback or whatever for every Android device, but not for iOS. Or we're told to talk down the iPhone over some Samsung whatchamajigger. I've seen occasional things of that, but it always sort of gets swept under the rug as, oh, it's just a training issue. This was one wacky store manager who thought this would be a good idea. Mm. Jeff, I don't know if you're seeing the same thing or not, but I mean, we've seen it often enough. I personally have seen it often.
Oh, Kelly's gone.
Oh, dear. We lost Kelly.
Oh, start again. I've personally seen it. I've gone. And then you stopped.
Okay. I've personally seen it enough to not think that you can chalk it up to one wacky store manager. This seems a little more systemic than that.
Oh, no. Yeah,
it happens often enough that it's not just random chance. It's like
TSA stops.
If you drop a ball 5 times and it falls 5 times,
that results in a cavity search.
Yes, in my case, yes, it does. But now you have a pattern, and it's the same thing.
You've got some scars as well, probably.
Boy, howdy. So it's while carriers and cell stores are saying, it's just a training issue, or we don't know why that manager is doing that. There's more to it, and it has to be something that carriers and retailers are working on together so that they can promote just the device they want.
But the American way has always been about subsidy. It's always been about pushing your brand, pushing your process. You go and watch, what's the film about Howard, what's his name?
The Duck?
Howard Hughes.
The Aviator?
Thank you. Now, he took the Constellation at TWA. He took the Constellation on the Paraiso, he got it for 18 months before anyone else got it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's been the American way. And if you play, do you remember Transport Tycoon?
Yeah.
I've got Transport Tycoon on here for the Mac.
So it runs here's by the itself. Thing about it.
But that was always about you could buy subsidies to get your competitors out of the way.
Yeah, but here's the thing about it, I think, here, is that the difference is Apple sort of stepped on the neck of all the providers here by saying there is no Verizon flavor iPhone. There is no AT&T flavor iPhone. You don't get to put anything on it. What you get out of the box on a Verizon phone, on a Verizon iPhone, is exactly the same as you get on the AT&T iPhone, except in the corner, it'll either say Verizon or AT&T next to the carrier. That is the only difference. And on Android, Samsung can put their own stuff and Verizon can put their own stuff, or HTC can put stuff, or Motorola can put stuff. So the hardware manufacturer gets a certain amount of wrapper and the carrier gets a certain amount of wrapper. So the exact same phone, the exact same Samsung Galaxy S3 with a compass in the stock and this thing that tells time, out of the box from Verizon and out of the box from AT&T can be very different experiences. Mm. And I think that is the difference, because when Verizon gets to put that stuff on, Verizon gets a cut. When AT&T gets to put stuff on, AT&T gets a cut. And they don't get a cut from the iPhone, which is why I think we keep seeing these sorts of things crop up everywhere, because there's no dog in the fight from a financial perspective for those carriers to sell the iPhone. They don't really get, I mean, they get the subsidy for the phone itself, but they don't get the bonus of whatever it is that they normally get by putting that software on.
Right. And manufacturers will toss in kickbacks to retail employees.
Yeah, the bounty, I think they call it.
Yes, the bounty. That's it.
Yeah. So you get an extra, like, if I sell an iPhone, maybe I get so much in commission. But this month, if I sell an S3, I get $100. And if I sell an S2, I get $50 or whatever. There's an incentive in it for me to sell one of these other devices.
I mean, the iPhone became one of the anti-sales as far as Samsung were, which was part of the class, or the action that was brought by Apple, was the fact that people were saying, it's like an iPhone, but it's cheaper.
So yeah.
They were told to push it constantly. Have you all upgraded to 6.1.3?
Yes, I have.
And did it go smoothly?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it went flawless on my iPhone and my iPad.
Excellent. Do you all use the unlock passcode?
Mm-hmm. No.
Right. Do you all use voice dialing?
No. Yeah. No. Sometimes.
Sometimes.
Did you know that if you use voice dialing, it's a piece of cake to completely bypass your security passcode?
Yep.
Not completely. It only gives you access to the phone contacts and photos.
Well, there's a guy who has published I've got to say, his name is Barakito, and he's put a video on YouTube that basically shows how you can bypass an iPhone's passcode and get into the core operating system. He doesn't suggest that it's only contents. I'll gladly be corrected on this, however. Effectively, what happens is he switches the iPhone off, voice dialing is enabled, and then when he tries to get in with the wrong passcode, it says, no, you can't. He then holds the home button so that he gets the voice dialing, says call 123. It starts to dial 123, and while it's dialing, he pops open the SIM, and then it automatically goes into the phone application.
Christ.
He pushes the SIM back in.
Wow.
And he's in the core operating system straight away. He takes him back to the home screen.
All right. First, what the hell? I mean, really, do people sit around and try every single little ridiculous combination to figure out if they can hack into something?
I don't know, but they
should. What is wrong with people?
Well, they should,
and
though,
also,
Jeff,
if someone gets a hold of your computer or your iPhone, your iPad, whatever, your technology device, the biggest risk to your security has already happened. Once your device is in someone else's hands, they have all the time in the world to do whatever they want, and they'll find a way in.
That's absolutely right. That's what I've always thought. If you've lost that phone, if it's gone, you're screwed anyway.
Well, I lost mine the other week.
But you found a kind Samaritan who returned it to you.
Well, now here's the bit where everyone derides me, but I still believe it, regardless of what anyone says. 90% of the world are good people. 10% are criminals. And if your phone gets into the hands of criminals, so be it. But 90% of the people that will find your phone, if it's fallen out your line or out your pocket on a railway line, will look at it and go, there's a number here for home. Hello, I've got your phone. And that's what happened with me, and I got it back. And he said, if you'd have had a passcode on there, I wouldn't have been able to do that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I had a similar thing with a wallet. I lost my wallet outside, literally right outside my house. Someone picked it up, and they tried to get in touch with me with all the cards in there, but there was nothing with my number on. But there was a Blockbuster card. This is how far back we're going. They called Blockbuster, gave them my name, and they said, okay, I shouldn't have probably given out my address, but they did, and they got in touch with me, and I got my wallet back. All my cards intact.
Good.
There are good people out there. You're absolutely right. It's just paranoid. And I'm not surprised the amount of news we get every day telling us how bad the world is. But it's not that bad.
News services want to make you feel scared and afraid.
Because that's their business.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that's fine. But no, most people, you're right. If you drop your phone, someone, unless they're complete geeks, will say, sorry, mate, you've dropped your phone there, you know. So the world's not as bad. But if like Jeff was saying, if they get hold of your phone, if a bad guy gets hold of your phone, it's game over anyway.
Well, but having said that, I mean, this is one of those hacks that is doable, clearly, and it's not exactly like it's hard. And I'm not particularly techie. I mean, Joe DeMax called me out the other week and said that when someone asked me if I'd coded my Hexcopter flight system, he said Ewan's Hello World is still in beta, which is true. But even I would have figured that this is a way to do it. You know, while it's dialing, I'll pop the SIM and it'll go, oh, no, I can't do this, and then default. I would have tried that if I was trying to get into an iPhone that I've forgotten the passcode of.
So it won't work on a Verizon iPhone.
And why would that be?
No card.
Because they don't have SIM card.
No card.
Right. Yeah, no SIM card.
But you can pop the SIM card on anything else in. And AT&T, presumably, I haven't tried this, but the UK phones as well will do this. Get it fixed, Apple, please. Oh.
All right, so you and I have a tip for you if you want to lock your iPhone and still have an easy way for people to be able to call you to get your phone back.
Go on.
Just make a custom lock screen graphic that says, if lost, call this number.
Good idea.
Or if found, call this number.
I'm a photographer. I hadn't thought of doing a custom picture. Stupid ass.
So I've got your back.
Thanks, man. Cheers,
not
buddy.
Your phone.
So the TSA, apparently.
Yep.
This podcast and all the others is brought to you by UK2.net. They're fabulous. We got great emails from people. We've had a couple of tweets this week. Neil Crockran tweeted out saying that he bought his domain. A couple of other people have said, as soon as my current domain expires, I'm transferring over to UK2. They are a fantastic service provider. They're unequivocal. So, you know, you'll get great customer services out of them, full stop. B, their prices are pretty good to start with, but C, you're going to get discounts on all of those. So if you go to britishjetnetwork.com, use the click through to UK2, then use the offer codes, you get money off everything that they provide, and you are laughing because they're a wonderful, wonderful group to be with. They've supported us already now for 3 years, and they're locked into us for another two for guarantees. So they pick up all our bandwidth. One of the things that we're looking at doing at the moment, Sarah's looking into this very closely with Charlie, who did the XBMC app, about us being able to transmit all of our live broadcasts ourselves. So there'll be no adverts, there'll be no rubbish going on, there'll be no dropouts, we'll do it all ourselves. And the only reason that we can do that is thanks to UK2, because they are going to pick up a total bandwidth charge for us. We have genuinely unlimited bandwidth. When you look at the bandwidth that we've used, they've got a little infinity symbol at the end of it. We really do get unlimited bandwidth. It's worth about £500 a month to us, and we couldn't provide it if they didn't support us. So please, please, please support UK2, because by doing it through our links, you make sure that we stay on the air, and we would disappear if we didn't. and I know I've already mentioned it, but the bash is coming up. It's the 6th of July. It's a Saturday this time, not a Friday. So there's no need to book a day off work or anything like that. If you want to come and do the curry, then there's a banner below that does the curry only. Click on that and that'll buy you a curry ticket. It'll deposit and give you a place. If you want to come to the bash is the one above. And that will book you a ticket that will give you all of your beer and all of your food for the day. And it covers the hire of the hall and that kind of stuff. We've got a really big place. We can get 300 people in the location that we're going to this time.
Nice.
So it's a bit of an increase. I want to fill it. Last time we did 75-ish people, I guess, that we had. We didn't really count the tickets. And it was sponsored by TechSmith, who were fantastic. I don't know whether they're going to sponsor us or not this time. I need to get in touch with Betsy. But we can do 300 people in the place. It's got an outdoor area, and it's got an indoor area, and it's got a kitchen facility, and there's loads that we can do with it. We're talking about printing out the PDFs for the Hasselblad camera that we mentioned on the photo show the other week, and everyone can sit and do that, and finger painting and those kind of things as well as. But... please sign up for it. Please book your ticket as soon as you can, because we've got to confirm the venue in the next couple of weeks. So we need to make sure we've got the people coming, if you can possibly do that. The other thing is, and you're going to like this, this week I went down to CU Expose, which was an exhibition provided by a company called CU, who do marketing and distribution of an awful lot of tech companies. One of them is Microsoft. And their stand was completely empty. But one stand that wasn't empty was 12 South. Do you remember those people?
They rock.
Oh, we'd love for a tosser. And I met Andrew and Lee at 12 South, and they were wonderful, lovely people. Andrew didn't spit in my eye, having said that the hover bar was crap. He said it was great, and he showed me a few of the other products that are coming up, and they're brilliant. I've also talked to them about a few competitions, and we're going to do a blind competition soon. So the next product that they launch, you guys are going to get to enter a competition for the product that they launch before they've even launched it. You don't even know what you're going to win. But you're going to win something. And he's agreed that they're going to shove a pile of stuff over for the bash. So if you come to the bash, there's a whole load of 12 South stuff that we're going to give away free of charge on the day, but you've got to be there to take it away. It's not going to be posted. There's going to be no competition to send an email in for. You have to be at the bash to get the 12 South goodies. But thank you, Andrew. Much appreciated. And if you are thinking of anything for your computer, Mac or otherwise, there's tons of stuff that 12 South do. So please support them, because, again, they support us. Brilliant. Come to the bash. It's going to be so much fun. Even if it pisses down, it'll be fun. Right. It's that time. It's the cool thing. And if there's one person I know is the right person to start this feature, it's Carl Madden, because, dude, you live on cool things.
All right.
Well, my cool thing, shame Don McAllister's not here this week, unfortunately, but my cool thing this week is SEO Tutor for Mac. His nice. Introductory thing, because my stepdad, as I said, mentioned on the big show last week, my stepdad's just got his first Mac, so he's going from PC to Mac,
good man.
It was driving me insane.
The tech support calls. Just did this.
Just do that. My favourite one so far was he was editing a movie in iMovie. He had his headphones on. His daughter called him on FaceTime. He took his headphones off, hung them up on the side, answered the call, started talking to her. And then I said, Carl, why can't I hear what she's saying? Because you've just taken your headphones off. Really?
Oh, dear.
Anyway, wow. So I remembered Don had done this app, so I quickly put that on his machine, and now he's going through it step by step, and he's slowly relearning his computer skills.
I said it last week, and I'll reiterate it today. If you're a Mac user, you've got to have the Alfred app, because that's the only way to start anything. Forget bloody Quick Search and all that kind of Spotlight. Pfft, rubbish. You've got to have Alfred app, and you've got to subscribe to anything that Don McAllister does. Screencast Online is essential.
I get a magazine myself, personally.
And the magazine, mm-hmm. as well as. It's beautiful. Support Don, because Don supports us. And the thing is, it really is good support, isn't it, as well?
Yeah.
You look at the applications that he's got.
Don is fantastic.
He is good. The SEO Tutor. That's the purchase one, isn't it, through the...
No, SEO Tutor for Mac, that's the free one.
Right.
Yeah.
Excellent. I need to sign my mum up for that.
There you go.
It just did. Yes, right, I'm well. Didn't. Thanks, Carl. Good one. Jeff, what have you got for us, mate?
All right, I have... Yep. I have this.
Oh, that and is...
This unassuming little box is from a company called Canex, and it's called the MySpot. And what it is it's a little Wi-Fi router. So it has a cover that comes off the bottom. There's your USB port. No, Ethernet port. And plug that into the Ethernet cable at home or if you're traveling in the hotel. And then on this end, it has a little USB cable. Plug that into a USB charger, and now you have your own personal hotspot. And it works really well. It's easy to configure. It has a built-in web page interface for setting everything up. You can password protect it if you want, and it's a lot smaller than having to carry around Airport Express base station, especially one of the new ones where it's just doesn't feel portable anymore. And they cost, I think it's $49.
Very good. Not a huge price then.
No, and it's small enough. You can just toss it in your pocket or toss it in your bag. And wherever you go, you have your Wi-Fi hotspot with you.
And it's cheaper and smaller than the Airport Express that people like to carry around because you get free Ethernet in your hotel room, but not free Wi-Fi.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
And this gets you right around that.
Excellent. Good pick, sir. Thank you. How long have you had that?
Since January. Got it at Macworld.
So good test then. No negatives?
No, it's worked just fine for me. The one thing I haven't tried with it that I want to try is setting it up without an Ethernet connection, because if it will still dole out IP addresses as it should, now I can take this with me anywhere that I need to use my Apple TV for presentations and not worry about whether or not I have a good connection in the building. I can just set up my own little private Wi-Fi network. Yeah. So I need to try that out.
So you can do that anyway, though, can't you, through create a network on your MacBook Pro?
I've never had good luck creating my own network and then putting the Apple TV back on it.
Right.
Yeah, it's fiddly at best.
No, I do this regularly. I mean, one of the things that I've got here, I've got, it's the only thing that I use my Apple, my iPad 3 for. My iPad 3 does nothing but play Sky on-demand television for me. So I can watch the F1 qualifying and things like that when I come down and work in the mornings. This is tied to the Mac Pro that does the shows, which constantly broadcasts a Wi-Fi network and shares its internet connection with it. So once you've set it up and it's secure, it does work. So there you go. Kelly G, what have you got for us, Mrs.?
I have two picks today. First of all, this goes along with Jeff's pick. This is called it's really boring, but I love it. It's the Belkin 3 Outlet Surge Protector. So it looks like this. And then you've got your plug on the back. And what I like about this one is that, and I believe there's an international version, I can't confirm this, but there's two things about this that I think are really awesome. Number one, this here rotates. So if you're in an outlet, say, and you need to make room for something else, like you're at an airport, then you press this little white button and this will rotate. And then you can now use it this way. And it'll go all the way around, and you can just spin it until you get to, oh, you know what? It actually needs to be upside down. So I'm going to plug it in this way. There you go. Or whatever it is so that you can stay out of the way of the other outlet. I call this my airport friend maker.
Well, no, in the UK, we have 3-pin outlets as standard, and they are crap. They are the biggest pain in the ass that you can possibly imagine, apart from a TSA officer.
So they're thoughtful, and they're thoughtful about this because they give you a cover for the pins, for the prongs on the outlet, so you can take this off. And what's even more awesome is there's this little groove in the bottom, and this slides into it. If I can line it up. There we go.
Right.
Yeah, I'm kind of spazzed this morning. So there we go.
Yeah.
So then you can at least keep the cap in place so that then you can put it back later.
Very good.
And the other thing I like about this that's very thoughtful is right there, two USB ports on the end for charging. So you can use your outlets for your laptop or whatever. And then additionally, you've got a spot to plug in your phone and you're not taking up one of your precious outlets. The size on this is pretty nice. Here it is with my iPhone 4. Which is only in a little,
it's small.
In my little yeah. red Star Trek case. Yeah, yeah. So not super big. It's thick because it's a power, and it's a surge protector. So I use it in, a lot of times when I stay in a hotel, there's like the one outlet in the lamp and that's it. Or there's one over by the phone. And then this makes it very easy to get everything plugged in like immediately. And the other bonus to it is that, like I said, everything is surge protected and it'll charge. And it's really light, and it's very convenient, and it's reasonably flat, so it, I can drop it in my bag and not really notice.
Price?
This one is $30 US.
Peanuts.
I keep one of those in my suitcase all the time.
I got it. Well, it's $30 on Belkin's site. I think I picked it up on Amazon for like $12 or $13.
At $30 US, there's more expensive doorstops in the UK.
Yeah. I seriously think I got it for like $12 off Amazon. I just decided it was time to pull the trigger and I bought one. And like I said, this will make you the most popular person waiting for your plane because you can plug this in and everyone else can share with you. My bonus pick, is the retractable cable from Skosh, which is so silly, but here's why it's awesome. So it's 30 pin and you're going, okay, why do you need a 30 pin cable? Well, I still have a mere mortal iPhone 4, but also, if I go like this...
Oh, she's done the pull it open thing to a Thunderbolt. No, it's a micro.
No, mine is micro USB, but there is a lightning cable.
Mm.
It comes in a lightning flavor.
Yes, I have a lightning flavor sitting in a bag around here somewhere.
Yeah,
they're great.
Jeff thinks it's awesome. And it's really solidly built. The cable is great. It charges at warp speed, so it charges my iPad faster than my iPad will charge with the regular white cable, even if I'm using the same brick in the wall. It will charge my phone at warp speed. It will charge my phone. I can pop this open and then I can charge my case because I have the Mophie juice pack on it. These are awesome. And I just was looking it up to get the price on it. I believe it's like $20.
Not
yeah,
bad.
It's $20 retail on their site.
I love being dyslexic. Because I've just read the chat room and Batwinch has put in there, how heavy is Kelly G? And actually, it's not what it said. It said, how heavy is it, Kelly G? So I think she's talking about the Belkin job.
Yeah, and let me get
the weight
specs on that. So under specification,
we'll come back
it
to you.
Says, it actually doesn't say.
We'll come back
but
to
it's
you.
Not very heavy. It's very lightweight.
It's, yeah,
very
it's a
lightweight.
Few ounces.
That's enough. Yeah, exactly. It's, yeah. it's 55
just
pounds.
Like Kelly, it's a few ounces.
DHM, what have you got for us, Mrs.?
Mrs.?
Mrs., yeah, see, I was checking whether you were listening.
Mrs.? Right, well, this is some entertainment for the weekend for everyone, if they fancy. When it gets really busy at Dr. Happy Mac, it's not just me. Because I can only be in one place at a time, and sometimes that one place isn't doing this, it's doing other things.
Moving on swiftly.
This is a good one.
Okay, go on.
Anyway, there is another me. Part
I was talking about the fact of the other things out. That you do.
What?
We didn't need to go into the detail of the other things that you do. Moving on swiftly.
When I'm busy doing these unmentionable things, there's another chap that helps me out called Ray Hughes. And he's kind of like Dr. Happy Mac 2, and we are a team. We are two, and they are many. However, he's not at the moment with me because he's in a band, and him and his wife are the band, and they're in the States, in Tennessee, doing some stuff. And they have a website, which is called, the band is called The Black Feathers, and the website is www.theblackfeathers.com. And if anyone fancies listening to it and buying some of their stuff, they're also on SoundCloud at SoundCloud the Black Feathers, and supporting their trip to the States. They're in Lawrenceburg, Tennessee tonight, and Loretto, Tennessee tomorrow, and around and about.
Are they on
listen
tour?
To it. They're fantastic. He's like, I was really surprised, because when you know people and they say, oh, I'm in a band, come and see me play, and you think, oh God, we've got to go and see my friend in a band, and you go and see them, and then you go, right, they don't need to be fixing Macs, they need to be a professional musician, and that's what Ray and Sean are like, and it's brilliant stuff. English folk music with a sort of bluegrass twist.
And then I can have all their business.
Hey! It would be cheap. I wouldn't have to pay him if they went off and did that. But brilliant, really superbly talented people that are. They've just finished the last week recording their debut album. They were recording at Steve Winwood Studio, which is just outside Cirencester.
Nice.
Name dropper.
Yes.
Bet you fix his Macs, yeah. Don't you?
Sorry?
I bet you fix his Macs, don't you?
Yes, we did put a new hard drive in his iMac at the same time.
Valerie. Call on me. Great.
Yes, it's we are living the high life again.
Back in the high life again.
Back in the high life again, sorry.
I love Steve Winwood. He was great. I thought he was brilliant.
What a life, sitting around a massive, great studio, twiddling with guitars and things, and brilliant.
Excellent. My mate actually did the wiring for Sphere Studios in Wandsworth, and that was a good gig. I had a good time down there. Thank you, Dave.
So that's at the end of that massive preamble and rambling. It's www.theblackfeathers.com. Ray and Sean, lovely voices. Really, Sean, his wife Sean is a fantastic singer.
Have they got anything on iTunes?
Not at the moment.
They need to.
Not on iTunes, but.
Oh, here we go.
Can you hear that?
Yes.
You are like the fallen rain, soak the ground but never stain.
Anyway, there we go.
And if you'll have to pay for the rest of the words, I'll have to pay royalties. And I'm tired.
I think they might let you get away with that.
Thanks, Ray and Sean. Roy and Sean. Yay. Ray and Sean.
Ray
and Sean. I was right. There we go. My pick, two things. First thing is the digital negative application that's from a firm that called Cressy that do. It's an iOS application. While Jeff was talking, I took a picture of my screen. And what you're seeing is actually a rendered JPEG, but it's rendered from the DNG file that this application captures. Now, if you're not familiar with DNG, DNG is digital negative. It's not RAW. But it's kind of like RAW. It's 8-bit depth, and you can change.
It's more like an archive format, really.
Yeah, exactly. But it gives you the flexibility that you get with RAW. So if you need to change two or three stops of exposure or saturation or any of those kind of things, if you've got a piece of software that will manage RAW, even Elements, Adobe Elements will do this, version 10, version 11, something like that. You can get five versions of that from the Mac App Store. Then this thing will cope with it. It gives you live histogram. It gives you editing capabilities. It will let you output as a DNG file. You can't use that on Twitter, but you can certainly email it around, and it is quite a large file. It's 2.8 meg just for the JPEG off that, so you're probably expanding that to more like 12 meg for the DNG. But it will also let you send an uncompressed TIFF file, which, if you're talking about output for print, is essential. And it will work beautifully. I've had a little play since I did the photo show, where I only found this afternoon. And I've had a little play with a couple of images, and it converts reasonably well in Photoshop. So give it a go. It's digital negative, and it's from Cressy, and it's in the Mac App Store, and it's only £1.99 or $2.99, but it works on any iOS device that you've got, and it gives you a DNG file at the end of it instead of a crappy little JPEG that's already heartily compressed by Apple's own algorithms.
That's very cool.
It is pretty cool. It's not RAW, but it's as close as you're ever going to get, I think, on an iOS device. I think the amateur won't tell the difference. That's what I want to say, but that's probably a bit sort of superior, but I don't mean that. So. And the other thing I want to pick is British Mac Podcast. We take the piss out of Will Green relentlessly when he comes on this show, and most of it he deserves, but the rest of it is he's a super, super guy. I've got to say, I sound like I give him a hard time, but he is one of my better friends. Please support Will. He's got a podcast coming out in the next couple of days. Go and download it. BritishMac.com. We'll give you the link to it in iTunes. And Will be at the bash. He's already bought his ticket this afternoon. He'll be there, and he'll be at the curry as well as. And you need to support him because he's a lovely, lovely man. Please support Will Green. There you go. Cyprus. That was it. Thank you. I said Cress or something, didn't I? Cyprus, Windrider says in the chat room. Cyprus, DNG. Digital negative. Give it a go. Where can we get a hold of you, Mr. Madden?
Well, you get hold of me at Claw on Twitter at Claw0101 or the media show on this very network.
One out this week?
Yeah, we're doing one on Sunday.
There is one this week. The photo show, the Mac show, and the big show are all taking a break next week, but the other shows are all continuing, so.
There you go. So we're doing a media show and also on the Here and There show.
The Here and There show with Missy?
Put one out this week, yes. One out this week at last.
Is she talking to me again yet, or what?
I have no idea.
No, I have no idea because she hasn't talked to me. See, that's the point.
So I would say that's a no.
Yeah, exactly. There we go. See, there we go. Back on the big show next week.
Okay.
Oh, the week after next, but not.
Okay.
Not,
yeah. Okay. Absolutely. Cheer Unless up. I'm bumped again, you know.
No, you weren't bumped. You were polite.
I sidestepped for a lady.
Exactly.
Side, as one does.
Sidestepping for a
really?
Lady
Who?
Is a recognised country dance, I think. In Tennessee, they do it regularly. Next to him, where are you, Jeffrey?
All right. Well, I'm the managing editor at Mac Observer, so you can find me at macobserver.com. And so go check it out because there's a lot of awesome writers there. And you can find me on Twitter and app.net. I'm Jay Gamut. And
spelled
you can also
correctly.
Find, spelled correctly would be J-G-A-M-E-T.
E-T, not U-T.
Right. And then if you want to see what's going on at the coffee shops that I hang out at, go to freshbrewedtales.com. Because we live in a world full of stupid. It's just my job to document it.
Dude, I had a read of that this week.
Right?
Did you like it?
I did. Now, you said it's all genuine.
Yes.
Yeah. There's none of it's made up.
None of it is made up. No.
You'll forgive my skepticism, though.
Well, why did you go... Yeah,
that you haven't hung out at Starbucks in the United States nearly enough, or Walmart nearly enough, and you'd see. Like, if I go to the grocery store and I am not wearing pajama pants, I am the best dressed person in the grocery store.
But the thing is, it's like the dude that's doing the Skype call.
The photograph is there.
I grant you
the photographic proof.
It's a photograph, but the dude's doing a Skype call with the headphone behind his head.
Yep.
At what point did you go over and correct the error?
At least
of
he has it on.
Not.
No.
No.
I mean, prime directive. No, that's I can't just, interfere.
Prime directive. That's just mean, Gamut. That is mean. You should have gone over and said, "Sir, can I help you?" And you push it over this. The dude's got it at the back of his head.
I couldn't. I just, no. I can't interfere with the natural progression of inferior
of species. A species. Of an inferior species.
Just slam the lid down.
Yes.
Got a nice guy
on
for
his
you.
Fingers. Fresh Blue Tales, a.k.a. I Can't Interfere with an Inferior Species, .com. You want to buy that website through UKT, mate. I can't interfere with an inferior... Exactly, and just get it forward. Well done. Kelly, where are you, Mrs.?
Okay, you can find me at both Twitter and app.net as Verso. You can find me generally hosting the Tuwa Talk cast when I'm not called away on mission.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also occasionally find me on Angry Mac Bastards or... over at occasionally over at the Agile Bits blog, where I have some more stuff coming up as part of my day job supporting 1Password.
Which is what? Tell us more. What can people get?
1Password is, well, 1Password is a manager for all your passwords. So you sign up for Facebook and you sign up for LinkedIn and you sign up for all these places, and you need a password that is hopefully reasonably secure, but one that you can still remember. So what 1Password does is allow you to keep all that information behind a single password that you enter, and then it's got a browser extension, an iOS app, a Mac app, a Windows app, and an Android app. And that way you can sync all this data. So if what you really want to do is make sure that you never get hacked on Facebook or on Yahoo or on iTunes, you can generate a nice, long, secure password that is different from all the other passwords that you use. So even if somebody were to be able to get your iTunes password, they're not going to be able to get to all the rest of your stuff. And it's super useful software. I was a huge fan before I started working there. And it's very, very cool stuff. And as Jeff can personally attest, the support team over there is top notch.
Excellent. Well done.
Indeed they are. Yeah, I know the support team. And when I throw them questions, they come back with answers very quickly. And they're able to handle the questions I toss their way.
Excellent.
And Jeff's not one to throw a softball.
No, he sits and thinks of tough questions.
He really does.
My name is Tough Questions Gamut.
We always have something that we can send back to him that's reasonably useful and hopefully friendly. So I think that's that's part of what makes it a really good gig as far as my official capacity over there is that I get to be really nice to people, and my official title is Support Jedi, which is also kind of awesome. So there you go.
Jeff, the last entry you got is the 22nd of February. You lazy bastard, says Batwench.
Yep, that's about right. Sorry, gang. I've been very busy.
I just want to say that I added the lazy bastard bit. That's not, Batwench didn't say that.
Totally appropriate, though.
It is, however, yes. You've been pushing that for 2 weeks now, and you haven't posted for the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, I have several things that I can write about. I've just been so crazy busy. Hanging out on British podcasts that I haven't had time to write anything up.
It's my fault.
Get something up this weekend.
Every woman I've ever met said it's my fault. Yeah, I've noticed as well a trend here that your podcast, your posts are a month apart. 22nd of February, 25th of January, 29th of December.
So apparently about once a month I have time to write.
Exactly.
Well, at least I'm consistent.
It's true. Yes, exactly. That's all that Google wants. Dr. Happy Matt, where are you, sir?
Well, if you want me, you can find me. Left of centre.
Aye.
Left of the strip.
Aye.
There you go. Yay, I see what you did there, honey.
I remember I dreamt years ago when I was younger, I dreamt I married Suzanne Vega. I might have mentioned that before, actually.
And what has impressed me is I actually got that. I actually got the Suzanne Vega reference before you said that.
What? Before I even said, if you...
Left to centre. I got it. I've impressed myself there.
Yeah.
She was different. She was one of those women that you'd never, ever understand. Most women you never understand anyway, but Suzanne Vega, not a chance.
Yeah, sort of the female Paul Simon.
She sang in riddles.
Hmm.
That made sense after someone else explained them to you.
Yes, I was. Do you remember Pebble Mill at One?
Pebble Mill at One, brilliant! What a show!
I remember I was ill off school one day with something, and she was on Pebble Mill at One, and she did Marlena on the Wall and something else at the top and tail of Pebble Mill at One, and I thought I'm not well. I'm off school, and I rushed off up to the record shop. Hmm.
Remember those,
now,
kids?
I may not remember the chords correctly.
Oh, yes.
I can't remember.
I'm not hearing Suzanne Vega there. It has to be said.
That's about as accurate as the resident Alec Guinness impression.
Yeah.
No, I can't remember it. I can't remember it, but I used to know the... Oh, there we go. Was that it?
Which song?
Marlena on the Wall. Well, no. Even if I am in love with you, it's with you.
Please stop.
Go up to nine?
Wait. So-
That's the best Indigata DeVita I've ever heard.
Right, after the show, I'm going to play Marlena on the Wall. It'll be on it'll be on Justin TV.
Am I to understand there will be karaoke at the back?
There'll be karaoke afterwards, absolutely. Well, no, I'll be singing Downloads by Monday because Russ Clewitt, the lazy bastard, has taken a frigging year and still hasn't published the damn thing. There we go. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. See you soon. Bye.